My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
It's stress test season. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Every year, the Federal Reserve tests the nation's biggest banks to make sure they can withstand a major economic shock. And the results of the latest tests are in. The big banks, like Bank of America and JPMorgan Chase, did very well. These tests are of particular interest right now, given the series of regional but not that small bank failures just a few months ago. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. Morning, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So I guess that's not really a surprise, or shouldn't be a surprise, that the big banks passed their annual stress test. We would hope they would. But were there any surprises in these results?
Well, you know, it is notable how well the banks did. This year's tests envisioned a pretty severe economic downturn. Commercial real estate values plunging 40%, house prices down 38%, the unemployment rate at 10%. That's pretty bad. And the test results showed that under that scenario, the biggest banks in the country would lose about $540 billion collectively, but that would still leave them with plenty of cash to conduct business and, importantly, keep lending. And that's important because banks' lending keeps the economy functioning.
But not everyone was impressed by these results, apparently. Why is that?
Right. And if you look at the results, among the top performers was Credit Suisse USA. So that tells you something right there. The Swiss government had to engineer a takeover of that bank to keep it from failing. And there's a left-leaning Washington, D.C. advocacy group called Better Markets. They called the results the Fed's stressless stress tests. So that's pretty clever. Their argument is essentially that the Fed requires too little in cash reserves from big banks, and that considering the bank failures we just had a few months ago, it's hard to argue that everything is fine. So season the results, Sabri, with a big grain of salt.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Virgin Galactic is set to launch its first commercial rocket plane spaceflight, the VSS Unity, today. The spacecraft launches from a high-altitude plane. This trip isn't tourism. It's being described as scientific. The crew plans to collect biometric data and conduct tests. But Virgin says it has a wait list of 800 customers hoping to experience a trip to space and back. Company is one of a handful of private firms, including SpaceX and Blue Origin, that are all working on space tourism. Here's Reuters space reporter Joey Roulette.
Virgin Galactic has done a few of these flights before, but this will be the first revenue-generating mission for the company and their first commercial mission. Right now, the company is charging $450,000 for tourists per seat.
That was Joey Roulette with Reuters.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Pride Month in the U.S. is wrapping up. It does so at a time when LGBTQ rights have become particularly contentious. The Human Rights Campaign says 70 laws that it considers anti-LGBTQ have been enacted across the country so far this year. But culture wars aside, there is an economic case to be made for inclusivity. Lee Badgett is a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and makes that case in her book, The Economic Case for LGBT Equality: Why Fair and Equal Treatment Benefits Us All. Lee, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
At a macro level, you found that more inclusive policies for lesbian, gay, bisexual folks actually corresponds with higher GDP. Let me first ask, how strong is this connection?
It's strong. We see the correlation even after we control for all the other kinds of things that affect how well the economies do, and even taking into account how much gender equality there is. So in the context of countries overall, we found that having an extra law, being a little bit more legally inclusive, was worth roughly $2,000 in GDP per capita.
I think people may hear that and think, well, oh, it's just because rich countries are more likely to be more inclusive, and that's all that is. Is that the case, or is there, you know, a mechanism at work here?
I think that's partly the case, but there's clearly something else going on underneath it. When young LGBT people go to school, the most common thing they experience is bullying. And we know from research that that leads to lower GPAs. People are more likely to drop out or be absent from school. They're not as likely to go on to get university educations. So it's holding back their ability to develop human capital. That's, you know, the skills, the knowledge, the creativity that economies rely on to grow. And then in the workplace, that kind of harassment and discrimination that's very common in every country that's ever been studied shows that that's a potential drain on productivity as well. So I think, you know, thinking about how much those might look, if we could put monetary values on them, and I've tried to do that and some other people have done that, it still adds up to a big hit to GDP of about 1% or more in some countries.
It's interesting to look at that at the macro level, because at the more micro level, we have seen some examples where, for example, North Carolina had a bathroom bill. It was costly to that state. On the other hand, Bud Light tried to be more inclusive and it cost them quite a bit of business. How does this translate to sort of the micro level?
Yeah, well, for North Carolina, it translated to billions of dollars in lost business opportunities. I think, you know, the Bud Light example is a really interesting one. I think they weren't quite ready for what happened, and they hadn't thought through their marketing strategy very well, I think. Businesses are, I think, most of them are sticking with their policies of inclusion because they've worked for them. We know from research it's led to higher profits, higher stock prices, higher productivity when companies are more inclusive. So I don't think they're going to be going backwards either.
Lee Badgett is a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.